We're so grateful for this opportunity to be with you. You may recall a couple years ago, we started talking about the goodness of God, didn't we? And great theme was a passion of mine for the first couple years that we were in Arizona. And now it was time for a new one this year, so we picked up the theme of faith. Isn't it something that something you thought you knew about from the time you were three? And those of you who grew up in a Christian home have talked about it all your life. By the way, what continent is your dad in today? What continent? Maybe Asia. What a faith life. Holy cow. You just laugh. Maybe Asia. Well done. Well done. Faith. Faith. We all think we know what saving faith is. How many of you do? What about living faith? What about it? What about living faith? Will you be able to talk about it pretty well? So, that's what I've been looking at this year. And much of it through the book of Colossians. And I'll tell you why in a minute. But before we even hardly say anything, just think how much faith is needed. I brought about 30 books with me this summer and now have added to that collection at famous garage sales all over Wisconsin, another 20 or 30. And it's a good thing to read. You all like to read. I think it's a lost art. But one of the books that I'm reading is called something like The Light of New Suns. Has anybody read it? Very interesting. It's a book about the southern migration from about 1950 to 1970, when more than 15 million black people from the Jim Crow South said they can't take this anymore, and they moved north. There were invisible highways that they took, whether it was by train or car. But some went to Washington, D.C. Many went to New York City, to Harlem, to Detroit, to Chicago, to California. 15 million people who almost had no life whatsoever, so desperate that they would go almost anywhere without hardly having a clue as to what was ahead of them. When they would go to these places, if they had any chance of getting a job, it was the bottom of the barrel, the hardest, hottest work. And yet many of them, millions of them, Christian people. And you wonder how you live out faith. Young man would go on to a black school and became a doctor. This was in Atlanta. Went to help a white family in their home. And pretty soon he had death threats for wanting to help. Now, you and I could just say, Lord, you know what? you must not be around. You must love some people more than others. Something doesn't work here. And yet millions of people found a faith to survive in a world like this. Story of one of this young doctor gets in a car, drives across Texas to go into California, thinking that once he gets to El Paso, that it'll be better away from Jim Crow. Every motel that he stops at in New Mexico, this is about 1935, has a vacancy sign when he goes in. He said, "Oh, we just gave away the last room." Desperately tired, not even knowing what he would do. He got to California. But I couldn't stop reading about him and thinking, if he were a believer in Jesus and he had just come to the third of those motels in an endless night of tiredness, dust, and heat, what would you do? Finally collapsing by the side of the road, not even having a clue what time it was. What would you pray? What would you say? Another book I'm reading right now, I always am reading something about the Middle East, but we're just reading about the Armenian genocide in Turkey. Remember in 1915, the Christian population of Turkey, mostly Armenian. And as the First World War started, this became an opportunity for the Turkish people who didn't like the Armenian Christians anyhow to move them out of their homes and march them into wildernesses where there was no food or water, killing many. And you find yourself saying, how would it be to be a young mother just watching your children starve to death? How would faith touch you at a moment like that? What you do? You know, there is much sorrow as you read history, but we sometimes forget there's much sorrow in Christian history. And we think, now wait a minute, what is this business about there's victory in Jesus all the time? What is faith? How does it get you through times like that? Of course, we could talk right from the beginning. We could talk about the apostles who all gave their lives for their faith, and we could talk about the 10 great persecutions in the first three centuries, and many going on now. You've all wondered, what would I do if I were in a Syrian town that was just conquered by the ISIS gang? So, with those happy introductory words, we take a look at faith. It is an amazing subject. We know, of course, that Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. I mean, that is so fundamental to the way God works. You'll miss everything if we miss faith. You know that in Hebrews 12:2, it says, Therefore, we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Wow, Jesus is right in the middle of this thing. If we're going to have faith that works, somehow Jesus is the object of it, isn't it? Well, how does it work? Even as we take a look at Colossians, it's interesting that the first thing Colossians says in chapter 1, verse 3, it says, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. What a way to start. What a way to begin this wonderful epistle. And so faith is in Christ Jesus. He's the object, the subject of it all. So we say if faith is rooted in Christ Jesus, what is the meaning of it all? Good for somebody who stuck that there. You. I just want to say that the Bible clearly presents this reality that Jesus Christ is the source of God's victory in the universe always. Jesus Christ is the subject of God's victory in the universe always. Isn't that something? Whatever victory God is achieving is coming through the victory of his Son. Did you all know that? That's why our faith is in Jesus. And it might be a good idea just to see three main components of this victory. Okay, you're ready to go? This wonderful book shows us three amazing victories of God focused in the person of Jesus Christ. The first one, of course, is his resurrection. Let me just give you a couple verses from Colossians. It says in Colossians 1:18, it says, he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that in everything Christ may have the supremacy. Christ may have the preeminence, if you have an old King James Bible, so that in everything, he's the beginning. His resurrection was the start of a new humanity that we're a part of. So this resurrection was the theme of the book of Acts. Some of you who are theologians say, why isn't there more about the cross in the book of Acts? Well, what captivated people was, of course, what Christ did on the cross, but it all made sense only in the light of his resurrection. And they began whispering, he's alive! He's alive! He's alive! And I hope a black man, doctor who couldn't do his work in any hospital, traveling across the country in a beat-up old car in the middle of the night, could say, Lord Jesus, I am dying out here, but my hope is in your ability to take death and turn it into life. Turn my death tonight into life. You know, chapter 2, verse 13, says, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave you all your sins. So somehow that resurrection of his becomes our resurrection as well. Wow. So the first great theme of all of faith is that the resurrection of Christ, the livingness of Jesus, is the starting point of all hope. All hope is related to that. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his great mercy, Peter says in chapter 1, verse 3, in his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope by the resurrection, Christ from the dead. Say amen. That's the living hope that somehow is the beginning of your way out of every problem you have with your sons and your daughters. Every problem you have at work, every problem you have not liking who you are. Anybody struggling to like who he is? She is. So I've got a wife who never struggles like that. Very secure. Wow. Only because she has applied this truth of faith to her life so wonderfully. The second victory in Christ, we call his mystery. If we look at his resurrection, let's look at his mystery. You know, this is such an amazing book, and this is such an amazing theme. Who would imagine that it would come up as often as it does? But you look, for example, in chapter 1, let's take a running start here. It says, start in verse 26. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you. This mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. In case you miss it in chapter 1, wouldn't you know it would be in chapter 2 again? Verse 1 of chapter 2 says, I want you to know how much I'm struggling for you. I know what you're going through. Those in Laodicea and in your churches at Colossae too, but he says, my purpose is that you may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so as you have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that you may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And it goes on to say later on in that chapter, and you're complete in him. You're complete in him. So look at this. In this world that never stops looking fallen, this world that never stops looking broken, and sometimes your outward circumstance never seems to get better. Anybody have a circumstance like that? The job never improves. The salary never grows. There are always dandelions in my yard. Isn't it something that in this spiritual world, what God is doing inside of us may be invisible, but it is nothing less than Christ in you. Christ in you. Holy cow. This last week, Carol and I had our family. We told you about David last year. Remember, David's our son who is gay. He must have been talking to some people his home in California, and must have been talking to people who say all the problem in our world is caused by evangelicals. Yeah, just like your parents. So he came kind of armed in that spirit a little bit. And you know, I just want to tell you this. He really crushed my spirit, Liz. I couldn't get him over the bitterness he felt about all that we love, and believe, and hope for. And so I found myself having to stop, think about what David said, and just say invisibly, Lord, may your life in me reveal to him that your people are not mean and angry and hateful. And Lord, even more than that, if he never quite gets freed from seeing a world like that, may I see the world differently because you live. May I see people the way Jesus saw them every day, all the time. May I not say, how am I doing? How am I performing? May I look into their hurting eyes and say, Jesus. Okay, so this victory of Jesus starts with his resurrection. And then it goes to the mystery. Oh, I didn't even say chapter 3 has this mystery too. I should probably just let you know. No, it's chapter 4. In chapter 4, it says in verse 2, devote yourself to prayer and be watchful and thankful. We're going to talk about that verse in 2 weeks. Oh, you didn't know I was coming back. Okay. Okay. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ. Wow. And this mystery of Christ is that God came in a body. God came in a person. God came in one who had no form or comeliness, nothing to draw you to him physically, but everything to draw you to him. Okay, there's one more aspect of this victory of Jesus, and we call it his kingdom. I hope you knew that was coming. It had to come. It's such a big part of faith living, isn't it? His kingdom. Look at what it says in Colossians chapter 1. It says, verse 11, being strengthened with power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience when your world closes in on you, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of saints in the kingdom of light. What a great name for our kingdom of God. The kingdom of light. Holy cow. Okay, it doesn't stop there. Wait, can't see through these old eyes. Kingdom of light, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son that he loves. Great words, great thoughts. You know, Moses and the Jews of old, enslaved in Egypt, were looking for a kingdom as they crossed the wilderness, and many millions of black Americans were looking for a kingdom as they went north, and it's so interesting when all seems to be so twisted and upside down, aren't you glad to know that Jesus Christ is already seated on the throne of that kingdom. He is at the right hand of the Father by his Holy Spirit. He lives in our hearts and brings that kingdom to us. And so we pray not only, Lord, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, but that's why you still have given me breath. Lord, in the midst of this pain, this agony, this world that I don't understand, let me at least say that I know that ultimately at the return of Jesus, all the wrongs of this world, of this universe, will be righted. And until that happens, let this man be responsible for bringing some of that kingdom to his world. Isn't that the way you feel? So, you may never get on television. You may never strike it big. You may never have a fat wallet. You may never have lots of things that Western society says you need to be happy. And that makes the devil so furious when he sees your smile, your beating heart, your spirit of worship, your ability to be in the car driving across the country in the middle of the night singing, I exalt thee. Exalt thee. And that's what faith is all about. Here is the real theme of faith. Faith is what turns your heart into a passionate desire to make a difference, to help, to care, to minister, to serve. Because all the data that is coming into your life is being filtered by your relationship with Jesus Christ. Faith is the life that you live in relationship with him. Faith is all that you do in the light of your relationship with Jesus. You see that, don't you? It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. Here's what makes Christianity so amazing. In some ways, we must understand, and this is the last thing I'll say. I'm taking much too much of your time, but let me just say this. There is a much value if you try to figure out a little bit of what is the difference between faith and belief. Oh, no, they're the same thing. Faith, belief. No, of course, they're the same thing. They're not the same thing. Listen to this. Belief is what you do with your mind. Belief is the way you receive and organize data, the data of the universe. But faith is what you do with your heart. And it makes all the difference in the world because your heart is your control center. It's where decisions are made. It is where behavior becomes not a drudgery, but a blessing. Faith that is placed in Jesus Christ enables all that you believe to lead to action. To lead to action. Isn't it great what was being talked about here? Scissors and colors and things like this for the school is all part of it. It's all part of it. 1,000 things you all do all the time is that amazing. You should see how many times, maybe in 2 weeks we'll talk a little bit more about it, about how the presence of faith in Christ leads to obedience, leads to love, leads to acts of kindness. It's in book after book after book of the New Testament, and it's absolutely amazing. But here's the scary thing. The longer you are a Christian, the longer you face the danger of letting faith turn into just belief. And if that happens, it's like you do stuff and you go to church and you develop a very conservative evangelical lifestyle, but there's no relationship with Christ. So now all that flows out of you are words. Words. They might even be the right words, but there's no power there. There's no reality there. There's no life there. There's no victory there. And God bless the person who can have victory in his car when nothing changes outwardly. But Jesus has made all the difference on the inside. And he is Lord of a happy heart. I hope that's your heart. I hope that's your heart. Happy. No reason, outwardly. Lots of pain in my life. Lots going wrong. I get so mad at myself sometimes. Get so mad at my whole world. Get mad at my failures. And then I look at Jesus and see unfailing love. And he just whispers, look at me. I love you perfectly. Well, okay, so you say today, Lord, everything I need to have a great life, not out there, it's in here, and it comes by faith. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Now, somebody ought to write a song like that. Let the victory be yours this morning. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that your word to us starts with faith way back with Abraham, believing God, ends with faith. The book of Revelation, when faith turns into sight. And thank you, Lord, that in all the time in between, faith is the victory. Because, Lord Jesus Christ, you are the victor. And it is your victory that we celebrate and ask that the mystery of your life and victory inside of us might make a difference this week. That's our desire. We pray it in Jesus' name.